Good morning. Good morning. We're going to start things a little differently this morning. So grab a seat. Let's enter into a spirit of worship. It is great to see everybody here. Happy Resurrection Sunday. If you are interested in learning more about the congregational heritage, a class is starting in a couple of weeks, the 18th, after church. Liz is teaching the class. It should be really good. It's going to be 3-4 weeks on the congregational heritage. That should be really good. Also, in our collection for our service personnel, military personnel, we have lots of paperback books, but we are lacking about everything else on the list. So if you'd like to support our military personnel, look over the list. It's on the back of the bulletin. And the stuff can be dropped off out in the office foyer. Thank you, Sarah Lou and Blanche, for preparing the Maundy-Thursday meal. It was great. It was great. And April 10th is the second Saturday Supper. Please make note of that. Also on the 11th, we're going to have the whole service around communion. What communion means, you may want to be available for that. And there's a prudential council meeting that day also, or on the 18th also. Okay. That's really good to see everybody this morning. Glad you made it. Glad you made it. I think we're ready to continue.
Good morning. Happy Easter. Please join me in the call to worship. Christ was dead, buried, entombed, sealed, and consigned to the rubbish heap of history. But death could not hold him. We worship a Christ who is risen and alive, victorious over the powers who would try to bury him deep. Now death cannot hold us. Come then, let us sing praises to our God. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Thank you.
Wow. Amen. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord, there is no way I can repay you for your kindness to me, especially the gift of salvation from your Son. I pray that you will change and transform me into a person that seeks to glorify you in all that I say and do. Grant me a loving and giving heart. Through Christ, the risen Lord, I pray. Amen. Our first reading today is Revelation 1, verses 12 to 18. As many of you know, Revelation is a book about the future and about the present. According to tradition, John, the author of Revelation, was the only one in Jesus' original 12 disciples who was not killed by the faith. John is in exile on the island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, sent by the Romans for his witness on Jesus Christ. This is John's vision. When I turned to see who was speaking, there behind me were seven candlesticks of gold. And standing among them was one who looked like Jesus, who called himself the Son of Man, wearing a long robe circled with a golden band across his chest. His hair was white as wool or snow, and his eyes penetrated like flames of fire. His feet gleamed like burnished bronze, and his voice thundered like the waves against the shore. He held seven stars in his right hand and a sharp, double-bladed sword in his mouth. And his face shone like the power of the sun of unclouded brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, "Don't be afraid. Though I am the first and last, the living one who died, who is now alive forevermore, who has the keys of hell and death, don't be afraid." May the Lord add his blessings to these words.
We're going to have a very short children's moment. I like to do things short. But Easter kind of has, it's turned out like Christmas. It has a religious and a commercial side. So on the religious side, did anybody see the Ten Commandments last night?
No.
Oh, I wasn't alone. I remember seeing this as a child. And remember when we studied Moses?
Yeah.
Remember the seven plagues, and the one was that the death of the firstborn human or animal? But what did the Jews have to do to keep their houses clean? What? It was made out of what? Yes, you remembered. Yes, Catherine.
It's also in... My mom said, Jesus was born on Christmas.
That's right, he was. But anyway, Jews are studying, the Jewish people have Passover now because the angel of death passed over their house because it had the red mark on the door frame. What? Well, now we'll cut to the commercial side. And did the Easter Bunny come see anyone last night?
Yeah.
Yeah, Catherine had a pretty hat this morning. When I was a child, and I was a child, believe it or not, a long time ago, the Easter Bunny came to see me. Do you suppose it's the same Easter Bunny?
No.
He'd be pretty old, wouldn't he?
Yeah,
he might limp too. By now. And now we'll go back to the religious side, and we're going to go downstairs and study a little bit about the Easter week. And I'm going to usurp the pastor's next little bit, because when I was a child, I remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And when I was about your age, Morgan, it kind of wrapped Easter all up into a nutshell. And I was your age once. And then we'll go back. We'll go downstairs and study a little bit about the Easter week and what led up to Easter Sunday. Then we'll go to the commercial side again. And we'll have a little, we're going to have a scavenger hunt this year instead of just an egg hunt. And so then you'll get a surprise at the end. So if you hear feet and giggling, it's because they're running around trying to get the stuff for the scavenger hunt. So just pay us no mind. We'll have a really, really, really short prayer, okay? Dear God, bless these children and let their light shine so that everyone can see it. Amen.
And all you're getting this morning is the religious end of it. You're not getting the commercial side. That's for coffee hour afterwards when we go out and have goodies. She read my line for me. She quoted it. That's pretty good. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Giving. God gave his best so that we could enjoy his best here and more so in eternity to come. So giving this morning, giving back to God a little bit of what he has given to us, thankfully, joyfully, and kind of prophetically. Worship God for your giving this morning.
Father, we do thank you for this wonderful, wonderful day. Celebrating the risen Lord. Celebrating what you have done for us. Thank you that you loved us. You lived for us. You died for us. You rose again for us. And you bless us immensely. We are grateful, grateful, grateful. Bless this offering that all the needs of your people have joyfully given unto you will be met. That the needs of Mayflower Church will be met. That there will be abundance left over to spread your word throughout our community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, if you can't get goosebumps over that, you have no right yelling at your TV set last night when they couldn't score the last 2 points. Whew! Okay. That was great. I'm glad I came this morning. I don't know how you feel, but I'm glad I am here. See, we're going to have to start roping off some sections here. We're getting too many people in the pews. Oh, we got room for a couple more? Okay. Don't have to rope them off yet. Next Easter. Next Easter. Oh, you think I'm kidding. Our second reading is in Mark chapter 16, starting at verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might come and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are here looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." He is risen. He is risen. That's the proof, you know. That's the proof.
Yeah. Every religion has somebody that's coming back. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. They all got some prophet that's going to arise someday. Somebody's coming back. Somebody's going to be incarnated, the new prophet, whatever. And they all have this in common. They're all still in the tomb. They're all still dead. And I have some news for you. As it is, so will it be. The proof. The proof's in the pudding. Remember that old saying? The proof's in the pudding. Huh? Yeah. The proof that Jesus was who he said he was, that Jesus is who the scriptures say he is, the proof is the empty tomb. That's the proof. That's the proof. Now, you need some personal proof? Maybe you don't. They think, well, yeah, an empty tomb, big deal. We don't really know where it is. Yeah, we sort of know where it is. I think we know where it is. They built a fancy little church over it, you know. But I'll tell you the truth. If you're honest with God, God will prove to you personally that Jesus is alive. And well, and as our last anthem was, King of Kings. See, there are certain things in the universe that are just this way. You believe them, not believe them. You know, I mean, for you it matters, but in the reality of things it doesn't matter. There are certain things that are truth. Truth. The truth always remains true. There are some things that are true today that won't be true later. But the truth is always the truth. It remains the truth. It's an eternal truth. It's not going to change. And this is one of the truths. Jesus is alive and well. He's alive and well. Amen. Not even one amen. Not even one. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. He's alive. He's well. He is who he said he was. He is. Actually, we see him. The reason we had the first reading out of Revelation, we kind of see him like this in our pictures. Okay. These are some decent pictures. Some of the Renaissance pictures were horrible. You know? I mean, I got pictures in my office, my Charlotte office, you know, of Jesus. Yeah, it's hard to find a picture of Jesus smiling. And I got four or five of them down in my office in Charlotte. You know, because I really don't like the whole Renaissance pictures of Jesus, you know, this little wimpy guy with a lamb and a staff that, you know, couldn't save anybody, let alone himself. Lord have mercy. The beating he took before he went to the cross would have killed most of us. Jesus was a man's man, not some little wimp with a sheep. You're the sheep. But Jesus is a Savior. Suffered, died, was buried, and by the time they got to the tomb on Sunday morning, is gone. Because he is alive forevermore. Which gives me great courage. That means that the rest of the book is going to turn out just like it says. Yeah. I read the last chapter and we win. I read it. I read it every now and then. Yeah. See, sometimes in the midst of my test trials and tribulations, and yes, I have test trials and tribulations like everybody else, go to bed at night thinking, you know, I may never have to deal with this. Most of my test trials and tribulations with people. I may never have to deal with this person again. They might die tonight. I might die tonight. Jesus might come back tonight. And then I wake up in the morning and we go about our day as you're normal. Like, yeah, that gives me hope. Gives me hope. They never die. Since they live to be 500 years old, it's amazing. Just amazing. I told God. This has nothing to do with the sermon, but I told God. You know, I'm a Christian. I can't kill anybody anymore. I've killed people in the past. But I can't do that anymore because now I'm a Christian. However, your God, you can do anything. May I suggest? Yeah, those are the ones that live to be 500 years old. Yeah, excuse me. You show what I know. That shows what I know. So he's alive. He's risen. The women are in shock. Everything he said is true. And we can have eternal life through Jesus. We can have a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's not about being good or bad. It's about being saved or not saved. That's what it's about. Relationship, no relationship. That's what it's about. And it's free to us. Wasn't free to God. Cost him his one and only son. Free to us. Highest price God will ever pay for anything in all of eternity. He paid for our salvation. Now, all the time Jesus is doing miracles, remember, we read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, some 400 miracles recorded there. And something would happen, and Jesus would say, a lot of times, he'd say, now don't go tell anybody. Remember that? And what did they do? They went and told everybody. See, so after he's raised from the dead, notice this. After he's raised from the dead, the angel says to the women, go tell his disciples and Peter, because Peter was really having, you know, talk about low self-esteem. Peter was having a bad hair day. He denied the Lord three times after he bragged, me, I would never do that. Why? I would go to prison with you. I would die with you. Jesus who? I'd never heard of the dude. I'm sorry. I'm just a bypass. So he's having a really bad hair day. Go tell the disciples and Peter. Later he tells the disciples, go tell the world. And what does the church world do ever since? We do what he told the other ones. We don't go tell nobody. You ever notice that? See, he says, don't tell. See, I am convinced. You know, I don't care. God's the one that set up all the rules. See, he could have set all the rules up differently. Okay, he could have set them all up opposite of what they are. Don't have just one wife, have 10 wives. Okay. And you know what mankind in their rebellion would be saying? I don't want 10 wives. 10, oh, man. You know how much that's going to cost me?
How come I have to have 10? I just want one. Yeah, it don't matter. He could have said, you know, treat your mother and father terrible. Oh, but I like my mother and father. I want to honor them. It doesn't matter what rules he set up. Mankind in their rebellion would have rebelled against the rule. And we're still kind of a little bit like that. Go tell! Well, you know, I just think religion's kind of a personal thing. You know, want to kind of keep it to myself. Don't want anybody else to go to heaven, get too crowded up there. You know, I go start blabbing, you know, they'll fill the place up and it's going to be like living in Lansing. You know, all these people up here. Live down little old Charlotte. Yeah, we have 3 stoplights in Charlotte. Why? We don't need any. You know, we just had extra money once, so we went out and bought some stoplights. So we could be like Lansing. Because we've been wanting to be like Lansing ever since I moved to Charlotte 20 years ago. Oh, let's be a little Lansing. Okay. Let the ducks cross the street? Yeah, that might be. Okay. Yeah. Don't let him get too crowded, so I ain't going to go tell nobody. Notice, though, what happened. The early church, of course, did go tell people. Took the gospel from little old Jerusalem, and that handful of people in the upper room, throughout 2 continents, to where people in Caesar's household, the right-hand man of Caesar, was saved. And it's mentioned, actually, in Scripture. Affected their whole known world. Yeah. Why? Were they just that good at talking? You know, you met some good talkers? I'm a pretty good talker. I can spin the tail. I can. You know, they didn't get me in the right boot. You should have saw me when I used to drink. Yeah, oh no, that was bad. You don't want to see me when I used to drink. No. Okay. What happened? They went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them. See, I have that part underlined. That amazes me. They did, it doesn't say they worked with God. It says the Lord worked with them. What? Don't you find that a little amazing yourself? The Lord worked with them. I go and talk, which I'm kind of good at anyway. And the Lord works with me. I thought I'm supposed to be working with Him. See, we don't have God just on Sunday morning, although He was here this morning. Was He not? I thought so. He's on the platform. Was He not out here? Just stay on the platform? Jason, we'll get you all up on the platform, no problem. Because he was on the platform this morning. And when we leave, you know where he does? He goes with us. He goes with us. He'll be on the job in the morning. Or whether he's decent on the golf course. He goes with us wherever we go. He goes with us. And then when we're telling, not only with our mouth, because there's people that do a lot of talking, you know, that just talk, blah, 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 blah. They say a lot of great, wonderful things. But after you get to know them for a little bit, you know, well, you know, there's really no reason to pay attention because they're just talking. It's not going to happen. But then talking with our lives, our actions, our behavior. Talking not just with our mouth, but backing it up. There are still a handful of people that I do a money contract with on a handshake. There aren't many, but there's a handful I do that with. Because I know them, and I know their word is good. Now they make an agreement, they'll fulfill the agreement. Even if things change, they'll fulfill the agreement. There's still some people like that out there. Used to be there was a lot of people out there like that. There's still some out there like that. Their actions back up their words. And if we will go and tell with our mouth, and go and tell with our actions, guess who's backing us up? Yeah, yeah. The Lord will work with us just like the Lord worked with them and confirmed His word. With signs and wonders follow. I was thinking about that as we were driving up here a little bit this morning. A small church like us, and all the stuff we have done this last year. I mean, we raised a ton of money and gave it away. I was talking not too long ago to a pastor. 150 on Sunday morning, $500,000 budget. We were talking, they gave nothing to missions. My jaw just fell open right in the office. Because we gave thousands of dollars this year. I thought, wow. $500,000, you spend it all on yourself? All of it? All of it on yourself? I don't even have time to tell you what that means. It don't mean anything good. It means, one, you're spending way too much money on yourself. See, signs following. How does a little church like this raise $1,600 to send to Haiti? How do we do that? See, how do we get enough people together to have all that? How many suppers did we have this winter? I mean, we had a bunch of suppers this winter, dude. I mean, we have the one a month. Then we had yours. And how many people does it take to put one of these things on? Yeah, a bunch. And they even have fun while they're doing it. Yeah. I mean, you get stuck between that guy and that guy on the serving line, and you are going to have a lot of fun. Yeah, I just can't help it. You know, Barbara and I are up there, we just spent the whole night laughing. Well, two funny critters. They just sit in church really nice and quiet and somber and, you know, say, but boy, you get them on a serving line, look out. Yeah. The Lord worked with them and confirmed His word with signs following. Exactly what we're seeing here. As we go out and talk and show and be the person God created us to be. God's part is to take care of all the other stuff. That's His part. Our part's to show up and be us. His part is to do everything else. Now, is that a good deal or is that a good deal? That's a good deal. Forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus. Eternal life because of the resurrection. Right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And He's going to bless us all week long too. I have nothing else to add to that. I'm out of that. You know, that's amazing. That's amazing. Thank God that He's allowing us to have a part in that. How thankful we should be in the time of our celebration for all that He is doing. Amen. Amen. Joys and concerns. Cosette.
Bruce Potter is with us this morning. Welcome back, Bruce. Amen. I know it's been a struggle. We've been praying for you. You've been gone long enough, you have to sign the visitor register in the back.
My sister Chris wanted me to say happy Easter to everybody. Thank you for the prayers and cards. She's hanging in there, still doing her dialysis 3 nights a week, and just praying for that kidney. But just loves Mayflower and can't wait to come home and meet everybody.
Amen.
See, that's what you get when you pray for people, even people that haven't been here. They consider it home. I don't want to embarrass you, but this is Jim's parents here with us this morning. Very nice to have you here this morning. Shirley.
Good news. I had dinner with my cousin that I was concerned about last week, Rosin Smith, and there was no cancer or any chemias. They're still going to be watching her closely and may have to drain the blood, this and that, but so far she's doing good, and the doctor had good news, so I just wanted to report that. So we had a great celebration dinner.
Amen. God is so good. God is so good. Good to see you all this morning. Some of you, you're not going to make me wait till next Easter to see you again, are you? You know who you are. I won't point you out.
I just wanted to reassure people that ordered their hyacinths that they are here. They're just decorating another area of church today. So follow your noses and you'll find them or check with us.
Okay.
We had a person on our concerns list that Bruce Potter asked us to put on, Matt Webb, who died of cancer, I think leukemia, about 10 days ago. He was a classmate of Kim's. And last Sunday night, now keep in mind they're 52 years old or so, last Sunday night one of his very best friends from high school, Kevin Scheiderlein, died suddenly of an enlarged heart, they think, in Memphis, Tennessee. So he's very sad this week, having lost two of his classmates. Yeah. Not the first by any means in his class either.
Yeah, they've lost a lot out of that class.
Oh, I'm glad I went to Whitehall. Eaton Rapids, that class, yeah. He was telling me that. So, any other prayer requests? Then let's pray. Oh, before we pray, about once or twice a week in our little prayer box, and I keep this up to date, my little prayer box here behind all this stuff, we get online prayer requests. It's amazing. And there's a handful of us that I email and we start praying about these things. If you want to be on that list, I'll be glad to put you on that list if you want to be praying about these. I am amazed at what God is doing. Some from other countries have come in that we're praying for. And God is doing a work online throughout the world from Mayflower Church. I just find that amazing. Just amazing. Let's pray. Father, thank you. You are so good. You are so good. And we are so thankful that you cared about us. You loved us so much that you would go through all that we've been celebrating these last few weeks through the Lenten season and through Holy Week here into Easter. How you suffered and came and suffered and died and was buried and raised from the dead just so our sins could be forgiven, that we could have this new life of Jesus Christ in us, that our relationship with the Father could be restored through Jesus, that we could be in right standing with you, that we can spend eternity with you. What a blessing. My mind can't even comprehend all of that. And yet it is so. It is so. You have so blessed us. You take care of us. You're always with us. Even in the darkest moments, some people going through some different things. Kim, with deaths that are taking place around him, it makes us sad. But you're right there with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. In the midst of sickness and disease, several have had cancer. You're right there with us. You bring us through it. You touch, you encourage, you help. And we are so thankful, so thankful. So we turn all these prayer requests over to you, the ones that were voiced, the ones in our box, the ones in our heart, that you would bring your perfect will to pass in each and every one of these lives, that you would encourage, heal, touch, help, support, whatever they need, that you would reveal yourself to them, that they can have what we have, that your children can be blessed and restored. Thank you that you're a God who loves us. You love to communicate with us. You love to have an intimate relationship with us. And thus, you taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn.
Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Thank you all for coming. I've had a great time.